The following sports presentation is a production of Blazers Broadcasting. Welcome to Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. Here in Portland, call toll-free 503-963-4595. Elsewhere, call 1-877-475-4595. Email courtside@trailblazers.com or text message us courtside@66937.
And welcome in live. It is Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. Here on the Blazers Radio Network, streaming live at trailblazers.com. And it is Jay Allen and Michael Holton from our Rose Garden studios. We're going to be joined live in just a few moments by Blazers assistant coach Monty Williams. He'll be with us from New Jersey. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Brian Smith, the Blazers beat writer from the Columbian in Vancouver. He'll be with us to tell us about a very interesting interview that he conducted last night before the game against the Jazz with Blazers athletic trainer Jay Jensen. And he went in-depth with Jay about Brandon Roy's hamstring injury, everything that led to that injury, how they've treated it, why Brandon is playing right now. And it's a very fascinating read if you want to check that out at Columbian.com. Look for the Blazer Banter blog that Brian Smith does on a daily basis. In the second hour of the show, we'll talk to Ian Thompson, senior NBA writer for Sports Illustrated and SI.com. We'll look back at last week's trades, the winners, the losers, and how they will affect the teams that put those deals together, and also the upcoming free agency this summer. At 7:30, Mike Barrett will be with us from New Jersey. And the Blazers embarking on this five-game road trip, Michael, and they will tip it off in New Jersey against the Nets tomorrow night. This is a New Jersey team that is 5-51 on the season, coached by former Blazer Kiki Vandeweghe. But before we get to all that, we have to talk about last night for just a second. The Blazers, perhaps the most disappointing, disheartening, emotional loss of the season. You know, a 25-point lead in the third quarter, and then you end up losing by four in overtime, 93-89. There was one stretch from when the Blazers had the 25-point lead to when the Jazz went up by five in overtime. Utah outscored Portland 55-22. What happened?
Well, a scoring drought happened. And
how did it happen?
And it didn't. It wasn't the first time. I mean, against Boston, there were a couple of scoring droughts as well. And the Trailblazers, you know, everybody feels bad about the game and the outcome, and certainly, you know, use the word disheartening when you blow a 25-point lead at home. Certainly that can be one of the emotions that you feel. But, Jay, I want to kind of put a little bit of a spin on it because there were a lot of positives in that game. I mean, the Trailblazers played the Jazz tougher and better than they had in the previous three outings. I thought the physical play of the Trailblazers through three quarters was the best it had been all year long. It really reduced the Jazz to going to a zone defense and having to dig deep to come up with a way to get back in the game. Now, the Jazz got back in the game successfully. But my point is there were a lot of positives that occurred for the Trailblazers in response to the Boston game. But the scoring drought late was the difference.
It was amazing because the Blazers played, you know, for 2.5 quarters, one of their best stretches of basketball. I wouldn't necessarily say of the season, but in recent memory, I mean, the last month or two, and certainly against the Jazz, it was the best, you know, 24 to 30 minutes that we'd seen the Blazers play against that tough Utah team, a team that is one of the hottest in the NBA. They've now won 17 out of their last 19, four in a row, and they've had the Blazers' numbers. So they did a great job in the first 2.5 quarters, and then the offense went stagnant. Nate McMillan talked about it. Brandon Roy talked about it after the game. Those guys said, we just did not make the plays offensively. Did Utah make changes defensively? Did the Blazers get a little comfortable? Is there a natural kind of a let up when you're up by 25 points?
No, I don't think there's necessarily a natural let up. I think you do have to give the Jazz some credit. They went to a zone, which slowed the game to a playoff type tempo, and the Trailblazers stopped moving offensively. And then the Trailblazers became a little more stagnant, and it became more isolation basketball while the Jazz continued to score. They were basically resting on defense and breaking on offense, and that changed the flow, the momentum, and the tempo of the basketball game.
How do you prevent that from happening again?
Well, the reason why the Jazz had to go to the zone was due to the success of the Trailblazers' physical play. The Trailblazers were in the Jazz chest from the opening tip. And it was one of the few times I've ever seen the Jazz not able to execute their half-court offense with efficiency and effectiveness. So I give the Trailblazers, and particularly Nate McMillan and his staff, a lot of credit in getting a team to respond from the flatline Boston performance to a physical, energetic performance against the Jazz at the start of the game. But the Jazz responded, and teams do. And the game within the game became a half-court game. Jazz zone defense and Trailblazers stagnant offense.
All right, as we do each and every week here on Trailblazers Courtside, we encourage your participation and involvement. And a couple different ways you can reach us on the phones, as always, 503-963-4595. Toll free, the number to dial us up, 877-475-4595. You can also get to us by sending an email to courtside@trailblazers.com. Some emails already coming in. We'll get to those in a moment. And you can text us by sending the word courtside to 66937. And then you'll receive further instructions on how to get your message to us. Again, send the word courtside to 66937. Now, overshadowed in all of this last night, just because the Blazers lost that game, the way they lost that game, was the performance of Marcus Camby. I mean, he had a great game last night and just his second outing as a Blazer. 2 points, 18 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 block shots. He was huge for the Blazers.
Yeah, he gets his hand on everything. He's so long, Jay, and he tips a lot of balls to himself and tips them out of traffic and starts to break, and he blocks and changes shots, not in a traditional way. In the lane, he goes after shots. He comes off ball and changes all penetration to the rim, and those are huge pluses for the Trailblazers in terms of limiting the amount of points in the paint, and not only that, but getting the Trailblazers easy basket because it starts to fast break.
So the Blazers now in New Jersey, and they will start this 5-game road trip tomorrow night against the Nets. I mentioned New Jersey is 5-51 on the season. Does that make this a dangerous game, a scary game at all, just because the Nets have such a bad record?
I don't know if the game is a dangerous or scary game because of the Nets' record. I'm more concerned about the game from the standpoint of the Trailblazers played their best basketball through 2.5, 3 quarters against the Jazz, built a 25-point lead and lost. And I know in the college game when that happens to a team, it's hard to get them off the canvas. In the pros, because there's so many games, it's a little different or it's a lot different. But I'm more concerned about that, the response to the Boston game being so almost perfect through 3 quarters and not getting the win. What's the state of mind of the team going into New Jersey?
All right, we mentioned that we will be taking some of your calls a little bit later on, 503-963-4595, toll-free 877-475-4595. And, of course, your emails are welcome at courtside@trailblazers.com. By the way, we are getting some emails about some technical problems on the internet stream. We know we're having some technical difficulties, so we are working to get those problems fixed. So we are aware of it. Thank you very much for letting us know about it. And let's take a break. When we come back, we will be joined by Brian Smith from the Columbian. We're going to move things around here a little bit. We'll get to Monty Williams at the bottom of the hour because they just wrapped up practice back there in New Jersey. They're on the way to the team hotel. So we'll talk to Monty in about 15 minutes. But up next, Brian Smith from the Vancouver Columbian is going to tell us about his interview with Jay Jensen. And we'll recap a little bit more that loss to the Jazz last night. Look ahead to this upcoming 5-game road trip. It's Trailblazers Courtside presented by Pacific Power. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
All right, we're back here. It is Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power and the Energy Trust of Oregon. Energy efficiency tips and incentives at pacificpower.net. Let's turn the answers on. Jay Allen, Michael Holton here on a Monday evening. Blazers and Nets coming up tomorrow night from New Jersey. That is a 4:30 tip-off on Blazer Radio and on Comcast Sportsnet. And, of course, the coverage on radio starts at 3:35, 4 o'clock for the pregame show on Comcast Sportsnet. It's a pleasure now to be joined by the Blazers beat writer from the Vancouver Columbian, Brian Smith. He is with us now from his posh estate somewhere here in the Portland metro area. Brian, how are you tonight?
I'm well, Jay. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Hey, before we talk to you about the interview, the exclusive one-on-one interview that you had with Blazers trainer Jay Jensen last night before the game. And by the way, encourage people to go to Columbian.com, find your Blazer banter blog, which you update at least a couple times a day. And there's always good stuff on there. But before we ask you about that, just what were your thoughts on that game last night? I mean, that was probably the toughest loss to swallow, at least of the season, and one of the worst losses in recent memory at the Rose Garden, period.
Unquestionably, and it's funny because I've talked to a couple people today, and I'm actually writing a follow story about the loss today, and the more you look into it, the more absurd it becomes. And I it's rare when you see media people who all they do is cover games and cover practices and talk to teams, and even the media seemed to be in shock last night. Nate was in shock just because it wasn't those 25 points. It's how it happened, how quickly it happened, and even up until the end, you kind of felt, well, you know, they'll still pull it out. And the funny thing is how much of a swing that was emotionally. They get that win, they beat the Jazz, they're going on a road trip with a win, Marcus Camby has a great game, Brandon Roy's back. They don't get the win, and all of a sudden it brings up so many questions about where this team is at, can they recover, and more importantly, are they a playoff-capable team?
What a difference a shot makes, because if you're right, if the Trailblazers win that game, there's a totally different perspective that the fan base has about the team and the rest of the season. But now the Trailblazers basically defend well on the last play of regulation. Carlos Boozer gets away with a slight shove in the back and an incredible off-the-window shot, and it goes to overtime and unleash the questions and concern and analyzing the team from a lot of different angles. But that's what makes sports so beautiful. I mean, one play can swing and change the momentum and the perspective of so many people.
Yeah, it really can, but I think it's rough if you're a Blazer fan right now, because I think a lot of the questions that people have been sitting on, trying to be patient, trying to, you know, just let things work out, all of a sudden everything came to the forefront. But I think at the same time, you know, Nate made a great point after the Boston loss when the Blazers were blown out, and he said, you know, we have to react, but we can't overreact. Yeah. And it's really easy, and I understand if you're a fan, you get so wrapped up, and you really just want your team to win. And the Blazers gave that game away, and that's a loss that really hurts, because they could have moved into a tie for seventh place. Yeah. They would have prevented a series sweep of Utah. They would have had a great amount of momentum, so many positives, and all of a sudden, you know, they have to come out tomorrow night, and they have to respond against the Nets. And the Blazers really need to go about 3-2 on this road trip to stay afloat right now in the playoff race.
Yeah, and I think that's very doable when you look at the games coming up. I mean, you got New Jersey, Toronto, Tuesday, Wednesday, off day Thursday, Chicago, Minnesota, Friday, Saturday, and then Memphis, obviously, which is a tough one a week from tonight in Memphis. Hey, I just wanted to ask you, you know, about the fourth quarters, because obviously that was a bugaboo last night from an offensive standpoint. We've seen it two or three times the last week or two where they've just kind of gone stagnant in the fourth quarter. I understand, you know, for some of those games, they didn't have Brandon Roy. Brandon, I thought, came through with a great performance last night. I mean, he really had to work for everything he got, but he gutted it out and had a nice game with the 23 points. But are you concerned? Is there something going on with the fourth quarter or in the fourth quarter with this team right now?
There definitely is, and I think there is room for concern right now. If there's an area you can maybe overreact, it would be the fact that the Blazers this season, even with the injuries, have not developed a consistent second scorer. On paper, it's LaMarcus Aldridge. But if you watch games, if you see how this team develops, usually Aldridge is getting the shots early. And this is a knock on Aldridge. I think, you know, contrary to some opinions out there, Aldridge has had a really strong season, especially you consider that he spent most of it playing out of position. The problem is that Brandon Roy is still not at 100%. Brandon really stepped up last night, but really nobody else did. And Nate talked about it in the Boston loss, that the Blazers kind of sometimes come out and they wait for Brandon to make things happen. They wait for Brandon to make shots. They wait for Brandon to carry the Blazers in the fourth quarter, which he's done in the past. But as teams, when games become more important, they're going to double-team Brandon. It's been going on the whole season. Nobody else stepped up for the Blazers. I mean, Andre Miller, shooting-wise, had a horrible game. Martell Webster was non-existent. Some of the players who carried the Blazers early, such as Nicholas Batum, you know, really didn't get much time when it counted. and didn't put any points either. So who is going to be that second option for the Blazers? And I think that's why they're struggling in the fourth quarter.
You know, Brian, in addition to discovering a consistent second score, which I agree with you, that is definitely important, and LaMarcus Aldridge has not been that guy as of late in the fourth quarter. There's another thing that I think needs to be highlighted about the Trailblazer offense that is a little bit of concern, is that they don't have a consistent inside offensive presence. And at the end of games and when you head into the playoffs, that becomes more and more important to collapse defenses. And so Brandon Roy ends up having to work so hard, and we saw it a year ago when he had to work so hard to penetrate defenses, to break down defenses, and to get to the free throw line. I guess I want to ask you, Brian, do you think that's important for the Trailblazers to have, and who do you think that will be?
Well, I think that's a really good point. It's a really good question, but I don't think there's an answer because, you know, Greg Oden is not able to play right now, and he could be scoring for this team. He proved it when he was healthy. It's not going to be Marcus Camby. You know, they did not get Marcus Camby to put up 15 points, 20 points a game. I mean, Marcus Camby has had, you know, he's bringing the rebounds, he's bringing the blocks, but Marcus Camby is not a scorer. So with Greg Oden being out, there's a lot of concern. And when you consider that the Blazers' offense is a half-court, slow, methodical offense, which is the same offense Roy excels in, but without having a scoring center a la Greg Oden, you know, maybe they need to open it up a little more. Maybe they need to really try and push it and run a little more. But I know Nate is hesitant to do that just because it can lead to turnovers, and this team hasn't had a lot of time to play together. But they don't have a consistent second scoring option. They don't have an inside scoring presence. So where do the points come from? And it's Brandon Roy, and he's not 100%, and he's being double-teamed. So it's almost simple math why they're struggling in the fourth quarter.
Hey, Brian, just want to address this here quickly before we let you go and get Monty Williams on the phone here in a couple minutes. But I was really fascinated to read the transcript of your interview with Jay Jensen, the Blazers head trainer, and you talked to him last night before the game against Utah. But he had some very interesting things to say about Brandon's hamstring, just about the fact that he was able recently to run on a treadmill 12 miles an hour at a 15% grade for an extended period of time. I mean, and they seem pretty impressed with just how strong the hamstring is. So just kind of give Blazer fans a synopsis of your conversation with Jay.
I spoke to Jay Jensen, the Blazers athletic trainer, about an hour before tip-off last night. And Jay, and credit to Kevin Pritchard and the Blazers for allowing Jay to speak on the record about something that a lot of teams, you know, might not be that comfortable talking about, especially because there's so much discussion about Roy. And Jay basically said that recent tests for Roy's hamstrings have been superb. This is according to Jay Jensen. He said that he's got very good flexibility. He mentioned running 12 miles an hour at a 15% grade on a treadmill for extended period of time. And Jensen actually kind of started to laugh there just because it shows how strong Roy's hamstring is. So Jensen's point and the Blazers' point is that Roy's hamstring right now is good to go. Roy is saying that he's good to go. Mm-hmm. You put those two together, the objective and the subjective, and there's no reason that Brandon Roy should not be on the court when you think about that big picture. So all it comes down to now is Brandon getting his conditioning back, getting his rhythm back, and trying to play through the remaining pain that just comes from the original strain.
Yeah, and I thought one of the other interesting things, too, was that what Jay said about, you know, just because Brandon hasn't played very much the last 4 weeks or so, that this period right now, it's almost like a training camp where he's getting back in shape, he's getting the, you know, the basketball rhythm back. So that's going to take a little bit of time, even for a big-time player like B. Roy.
It really, really is. I mean, the only thing that hurts if you're the Blazers is that it's coming at the worst possible time. And I think if you take a step back, and I understand why people are saying, well, why is Roy playing? And he really did not look like himself those first two games. But I think the Blazers are going to come out ahead if this all works out, because Roy started to look like Roy last night. Game-high 23 points, completely carried the Blazers, especially in the third quarter. Brandon Roy really started to kind of find his rhythm, find his conditioning. He looked smooth again. You know, he was so herky-jerky in the first two games back. If they can play through this, if they can tighten up, if they can find another offensive weapon, continue to integrate Marcus Camby into the offense, and then Brandon Roy finally gets back to where he is, things could still work out. And I think the Blazers are going to deserve some credit outside of all the criticism they received if this ends up playing out. But if it doesn't, and Roy tears it again, then, you know, then the box of questions just gets ripped open.
Hey, Brian, always great to catch up with you. And, again, we encourage our listeners to check it out on Columbian.com, the Blazer Banter blog. Always got great stuff on there. Thanks so much for a few minutes tonight.
All right, thanks a lot, Jay. You guys take care.
All right, Brian Smith of the Columbian. He is the Blazers beat writer. We're going to take a quick time out here on Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. And when we come back, we'll be joined live by Blazers assistant coach Monty Williams. Again, you can email us right now, courtside@trailblazers.com. Text us by sending the word courtside to 66937. More Trailblazers Courtside coming up right after this quick timeout.
Now, back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, continues here on the Blazers Radio Network and streaming live at trailblazers.com. And it's a pleasure now to be joined by Blazers assistant coach Monty Williams. He is with us from New Jersey, where the Blazers will take on the Nets tomorrow night to tip off this five-game road trip. Coach, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing good. How was the trip out? And also, you guys are still at practice? Is practice run a little long tonight?
No. You know, we lose so much time heading east.
Yeah.
That we normally get off the plane, get off the bus, and go right to a gym and flush that plane ride out. It's about a five-hour plane ride.
Mm-hmm.
You get a lot of film work done, and, you know, you get a lot of stuff done you probably shouldn't get done, like eating. So we come right to the gym and try to get up and down a little bit, get the blood flowing. Had a flush-out practice today, and we're just going to move forward from yesterday and try to get some wins on this road trip.
Coach, I know we're focused, or you're focused, and the team's focused on moving forward, but if you don't mind, I want to kind of go backwards a little bit. After the Boston game, something incredible had to happen in practice for the team to come back so focused against Utah in terms of physical play, both ends of the floor, interrupting Utah's ability to run, you know, to run their offense and to run their sets, and really reducing Utah to play a zone. I mean, there were a lot of things that the Blazers did well in that Utah game through about three quarters. And I guess I went back to kind of set the table to go forward. When you play that well and you blow a lead, is there any residue from a game like that now as you go on the road, or is that just totally in the rearview mirror?
Well, there's always some things you can take from wins and losses that can help you as you move forward. You know, one thing people forget, we played Utah more than any team in the league. If you go back to preseasons, we usually play them twice, play them four times in the regular season. So we know them, they know us. And, you know, we were able to do some things yesterday that we weren't able to do in the first three games. We took away their paint points early, and you know, in the first quarter, all of their baskets were in the paint. They couldn't hit a jump shot, and that usually catches up with you, and that's how we got a big lead. Unfortunately, we couldn't continue that, and their zone messed us up a little bit. But you're right. I think there's some things we can take from that. You know, Deron Williams is the best point guard in the NBA, and we nullified him for the first part of the game, and then he took over, and it was one of those games where free throw rebounds bit us in the butt, offensive rebounds and normal possessions bit us, and, you know, they got the win.
Monty Williams, Blazers assistant coach, with us live from New Jersey, where the Blazers getting ready to take on the Nets tomorrow night. Coach, let's talk about this New Jersey team for a second. I mean, they come in with a record of 5-51. You guys beat them once earlier in the season here at the Rose Garden. You know, 5-51, I mean, do you have to guard against taking these guys, I guess, too lightly? I know it's kind of a crazy question to ask with that record, but, I mean, how do you approach this game from a mental standpoint?
We have no room to take anybody lightly. 5-51, 0-81, it doesn't matter. We have to bring our game. And the one thing we've been talking about lately, and Nate's been stressing, it's about us.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to get, you know, it's like we made two trades because we're getting Brandon back after a month off and we're getting Marcus. And so we're trying to figure out some things. So it's about us. I mean, we can't worry about we respect Jersey because they are an NBA team. They have some talented guys. I don't think any of our guys would walk into this game and say we're going to win just just by showing up. That's not our mentality. We've never been that way. It may look like that at times when we get off to slow starts, but we never approach games that way.
You know, Coach, there's been some scoring droughts over the last couple of games. The Boston game, I think there was a 13 and a 15-point quarter and a scoring drought in the second half last night. If offense is played in two gears, the first gear being, you know, transition and conversion opportunities or early offense, you know, I think the Trailblazers are scoring well and with energy in that gear. But the second gear is when the game slows down and it grinds out. And it seems like the team has scoring droughts when there's less movement. Is that something that's of concern or being addressed, or am I overplaying that?
No, I don't think you're overplaying it. I think in stretches we have trouble. But the one thing that hurts our offense is when we give up baskets. You know, when you're playing out of the net as opposed to getting rebounds and running, you can't get as many easy baskets. And if you look at our team, when Rudy and Nicholas and Martell are out there running and getting layups and Andres pushing and throwing it up to LaMarcus for quick post-ups, we're much more effective, and that usually happens off of a rebound. When we give up baskets and have to take the ball out, it slows us down. The motion isn't there like it could be, but, you know, when you're giving up baskets or you're giving up late-clock baskets, it certainly hurts your offense because you always have to take the ball out. I thought we did a better job last night of moving the ball. We put in some new sets to take advantage of Rudy and Nicholas and some of our movement. And, you know, we got Brandon back, and I think Brandon's getting his rhythm back. And so I think we're headed in the right direction.
Hey, Coach, last thing, we'll let you go. How do the guys seem to be doing, I guess, from a mental standpoint? You said everybody's moving on from last night. Everybody seemed to be, you know, regrouping and headed in a positive direction as you start this trip.
Well, Nate set the tone today. You know, he just said, look, let's move on. We had a tough one last night, and I think having Juwan and Marcus here setting the tone as older vets. They've been through this before. They've lost games like that before. It certainly helps our young guys to take a look at the big picture. And for us, we're trying to make the playoffs, and, you know, we can't let a bad loss like that. We had a bad loss versus Philadelphia a couple years ago where we were up by 25, and we held on to that for a couple of games, and it hurt us. And we don't want to do that on this road trip. We got to flush that, come out here tomorrow against Jersey and dominate and get a win.
All right, Coach. Hey, as always, we appreciate it. Bring home 5 wins on this trip, all right?
All right, we're going to try.
All right, Blazers assistant coach Monty Williams joining us live from the New York, New Jersey area as the Blazers have just wrapped up practice. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back, and we'll get to some of your calls, your texts, and your emails. If you want to dial us up on the phones right now, we're open for your calls for the rest of this hour, 503-963-4595. Toll free, 877-475-4595. You can also email us courtside@trailblazers.com as we continue right here on the Blazers Radio Network and trailblazers.com.
Now, back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
Trailblazers Courtside continues here on the Blazers Radio Network, trailblazers.com, and also on Comcast SportsNet. We want to welcome our TV audience, and we apologize for the technical difficulties over the last little while, but we are back here on Comcast SportsNet. Trailblazers Courtside presented by Pacific Power. It's Jay Allen and Michael Holton. We just talked to Blazers assistant coach Monty Williams, and interesting to hear what he had to say just about the Blazers, what's going on in the fourth quarter, and how you go about fixing it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I really appreciated two comments that he made in particular in terms of the scoring droughts being the result of two things, primarily giving up late clock baskets and taking the ball out of the net makes it difficult to have an offensive rhythm and a push and to get movement, and that leads to the stagnation and then the scoring drought, and that's something the team's aware of and working on, and it comes down to getting stops.
We welcome emails, as always, courtside@trailblazers.com. You can also text us. Just send the word courtside to 66937, and we have some time for your phone calls here as well over the next 20 minutes or so, 503-963-4595, and toll-free 877-475-4595. But Mike writes in with an email and says, what a collapse last night. Do you guys think the Roy ISO offense should be dumped. Our ball movement and offense suffers badly. I can't believe Nate keeps using this strategy. What about the offense? There's a lot of talk about the offense, you know, and it's interesting to me. People criticize the offense sometimes, and we always hear the criticism after tough losses like last night. But the offense worked pretty well last year when they were winning 54 games, didn't it?
Yeah, but good offense moves the defense. I think that's a recognizable truth in basketball. Good offense moves the defense. So if you play,
now, what do you mean by that?
Well, that means that the ball goes from one side to the other and that you get cuts and you get screens on and off the ball. So the defense can't load to the ball. You can't get double teamed and you can't have a difficult angle to attack the rim. So if offensive efficiency requires ball movement and man movement, then what Monty was talking about is when the defense gets a chance to get set and you can't move them, that's when the Trailblazers get stagnant. And then when you play ISO basketball and Brandon Roy is relied upon because he's good enough to penetrate against a set defense, your ability to be effective and efficient goes down dramatically.
All right, keep those texts and emails coming in, courtside@trailblazers.com. Let's go out to the calls right now, 503-963-4595. Again, toll-free, 877-475-4595. If you've always had a burning question that you've wanted to ask Michael Holton about the Blazers, about the NBA, this is your opportunity to do that. Again, 503-963-4595. First up on the calls, it's Dave in Gresham. Dave, you're on Trailblazers courtside. What's on your mind tonight, Dave?
Well, kind of a statement slash question I have is, so Blazers young team, not as young as they used to be, but they are a young team. And so young teams tend to have success by running the ball. For example, Oklahoma, I mean, they just do a great job running the ball, and they get a lot of easy transition baskets. So my question is, are the Blazers, because they're dead last in fast break points, I mean, is this the Achilles heel which is going to keep them from going deep in the playoffs if they refuse to kind of go for those easy buckets and then push the ball off the court?
I think the Trailblazers want easy baskets. I think they will go after easy baskets, and I don't think there's the reluctance that many believe that Nate McMillan has about playing faster offensively in transition. I think what's misunderstood is when you run fast one way, you also open the floodgates to have to run fast the other way, which is transition defense. And then you get into what type of offensive shots are you taking? And Nate McMillan uses the term, we like our floor balanced. Well, the reason you want your floor balanced is so that you can set your defense. And the Trailblazers have proven when the tempo turns up, if they shoot quick, they don't get back and they don't set their defense, and that contributes to points in the paint scored against them.
Now, we've had several emails and texts about LaMarcus Aldridge. I mean, he sometimes is a hot button. You know, people love to criticize LaMarcus. And, I mean, he's had some very, very good games over the last couple of weeks. And, obviously, the All-Star break was mixed in there as well when the team had 5 days off. But now L.A. last night in the loss to the Jazz, LaMarcus finished with 15 points, 10 rebounds. He ended up fouling out. He had an assist. He had a block shot. I mean, 15 and 10, those are not bad numbers by any stretch of the imagination. But I know some fans have written in asking why the Blazers didn't go to him more in the fourth quarter and in the overtime. How would you respond to that?
Well, you know, I think LaMarcus is developing late-game offense. I mean, he has not taken a lot of shots. If you look at his stats and you break him down by quarter, the majority of his shots come through the first three quarters. His shot production, his field goal attempts in the fourth quarter are really low.
Now, why is that?
He takes about three shots a game in the fourth quarter on average. And why is that? I don't know if I have the answer. I don't think LaMarcus has developed at this point in his career to being a go-to guy late. Doesn't mean he won't become better at that. But right now, I think the Trailblazers' offensive woes happen when they have to work against the clock late because they don't break down defenses very well, and when they shoot too quick because they don't get back. The Trailblazers are best offensively taking shots between 8 and 18 seconds.
Okay, let's go back to the calls. Again, we have a couple lines open for you, 503-963-4595. If you want to talk to Michael Holton about the Blazers, John in Hillsborough, you're next up here on Trailblazers courtside. Hello, John.
How you doing?
We're great. What's on your mind this evening, John?
I'm trying to figure out when are we going to hear Brandon Roy and defense mentioned in the same sentence. I hear Brandon Roy and offense mentioned all the time, but never defense. And if your main guy is going to be a non-defender, then that kind of sets the tone for the rest of the team. Like, we don't have to defend if he's not.
All right, John, thanks for that. I mean, would you characterize Brandon as a non-defender?
No, I don't think I would characterize Brandon as a non-defender. I think if we go back to a year ago, Brandon Roy was the stopper. I mean, Brandon Roy was the guy that was taking the other team's best player, but when Nicholas Batum was unavailable to do it, the next number called is Brandon Roy. Mm-hmm. You know, I think this year he hasn't been as healthy. And when you're not as healthy and you're playing, you become vulnerable to this type of criticism. Why isn't he doing this? Why isn't he finishing the game? Why isn't he making the buckets late? Why isn't he stopping? And that's the part that really rubs me a little bit, because Brandon Roy is giving all he has. He's less than 100%. And he hasn't shut it down. He's given all he can to this team to make a playoff push.
Yeah, I mean, I thought last night that was one of his it was a gutsy performance. He battled through some pain and discomfort and had to work and labor for everything he got with the 23 points and the 3 rebounds and 4 assists. All right, we got to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll get to some more of your calls. If you're on hold, stay there. We will get to you out of the timeout, but we do have a line open, too, if you want to grab that during the break. 503-963-4595, toll-free 877-475-4595. You can also email us, courtside@trailblazers.com. We'll be right back.
Now back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
Back here on Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. We are broadcasting live on the Blazers Radio Network, trailblazers.com, and Comcast Sportsnet. It's Jay Allen and Michael Holton taking your calls and your emails, courtside@trailblazers.com. And, of course, you can email us. That is the email. What am I saying? You can dial us up on the phones, 503-963-4595, and toll-free the number around the area, 877-475-4595. Now, we had a caller a few minutes ago who couldn't hang on through the break. It was Paul in Vancouver. He wanted to ask you, Michael, about Andre Miller and how you feel he has blended in with the team up to this point of the season.
I think Andre Miller has blended in with the team quite wonderfully. I mean, he's played different roles. He's started. He's come off the bench. He's stepped up and scored when scoring's needed. He's been a distributor. He's been a defender. And he's also been low post offense for the Portland Trail Blazers. So I think in a lot of ways, Andre Miller has been one of the more versatile players on the team.
There you go. All right. We'll get to more of your calls in a second at 503-963-4595. But as I mentioned, we're taking emails as well. courtside@trailblazers.com. One of our faithful emailers, listeners, viewers, Karen in Happy Valley. We always love hearing from Karen. Karen says, ask Michael what Nate means specifically when he says play the game the right way. It's funny that Karen says it. We were talking about that earlier, I think, before the show started. She says Nate uses this phrase often but does not go on to describe what he means by the right way. I'm curious. Now, I think he's probably told the team a time or two about that, but I hear him say it in timeouts. He says, play the game the right way. Don't mess with the game, Nate says. What's he mean?
Well, my college coach, Larry Brown, always said the same thing. Play the game the right way, play the game the right way, and just play, just play. And I used to ask him, what does it mean? And the answer that he gave me and that I heard him say repeatedly and that I believe as a player and as a coach is playing the game the right way is playing hard, playing unselfish, and playing together. In other words, placing the team before yourself. Help your teammate and then help yourself. And really, it's about playing hard. You got to play hard in order to play well. And so playing the right way means you play hard and you're unselfish and you play team-oriented basketball.
Back to the calls we go. Let's talk to George in Tigard. Hello, George.
Hi.
What's on your mind tonight, George?
In all this controversy that goes on, I have never once heard anybody say, maybe, just maybe, Nate does something wrong. For example, last night, why did he leave Batum on the bench all the time that he did when right now he's probably the best three-point shooter they got? Plus a defender, plus he's a scorer now if they give him a chance to play. And furthermore, I feel, along with many other people, they should have traded Marcel instead of Travis.
All right. Thanks for that, George. I think you meant Martel, not Marcel, but that's all right. What about Batum and his role? Because we had another – we had a text about this earlier in the show. When will Nicholas Batum be in the starting lineup? We saw him start that one game. What was it, about his third or fourth game back, I think, roughly? He started the one game, and then he didn't start the second half. Martel started the second half, or Marcel, if you're in Tiger. That's all right. But what about Batum? Do you think he'll be back in the starting lineup at some point? What about the way that Nate uses him?
Well, right now Nate's using him inconsistently. I mean, sometimes he plays a lot, he scores, and sometimes he sits for long stretches. I'm not sure what's going on at that position, but I know that the play at that position has been inconsistent. Martel has been inconsistent, and I'm tongue-tied now with the player we're talking about.
With Nicholas.
With Nicholas. And so that position has not been solidified on this roster yet.
Yeah.
And so – at the end of the day, I think Nicholas is going to end up being the starter at that position because I think he does more on the defensive end and he's more complimentary.
I wouldn't be surprised if we see Nicholas back in the starting lineup at some point on this trip as soon as tomorrow night against the Nets. I don't have any inside information. It's just a gut feeling that I have. I mean, he played great, especially in that first half last night. He was one of the main reasons why the Blazers got that big lead.
Oh, no, no. I'm a fan of Nicholas Batum. But also, I want to say this. The caller said, how come Nate McMillan doesn't get criticism? Criticism comes with coaching, and Nate McMillan gets criticism all the time. You know, so he does not come without that in that job.
Spoken like a former coach right there. We got to take a quick timeout. We'll come back. We'll check the scores. We'll get to some more of your emails and texts. You can email us courtside@trailblazers.com. Text us. Just send the word courtside to 66937. We'll also give away some courtside gear as we continue tonight right here on Trailblazers Courtside presented by Pacific Power.
Now, back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
All right, we're back here on Trailblazers Courtside, brought to you as always by Pacific Power. And fans, want to invite you to join me for a Bud Light Big Game Night Watch Party on Wednesday night at the Buffalo Wild Wings at Cascade Station. That is out at Portland Airport, right out there at PDX, as the Trailblazers battle the Raptors. That is, again, this Wednesday night at Buffalo Wild Wings. There'll be great raffle prizes for Trailblazers tickets and gear, plus the Blazer Dancers will be there, and we'll hopefully see you out there on Wednesday night. All right, before we wrap up the first hour, we need to give away some courtside gear. How about a limited edition Blazers courtside hat? If you'd like to win, be one of the first five emailers to the show right now, and you'll win a great hat from Branding. We'll then select one of our winners to win a great fleece jacket from Branding. Send your emails to courtside@trailblazers.com. Courtside@trailblazers.com. This is an email contest only. Remember to include your mailing address in your email. When the Blazers need Branding merchandise, they call Branding at 503-663-2858. Branding, your Branding merchandise partner. Coming up in hour number two of Trailblazers Courtside, Ian Thompson, senior writer for Sports Illustrated and SI.com. Also, Mike Barrett will join us live at 7:30 from New Jersey. Stay with us right here on Trailblazers Courtside. We'll be right back.
Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, will continue after this 5-minute news break.